Well, I'm going to redo my opening, and then you'll know what happened. Thank the light, everyone! I got to stay up late tonight and rewire my whole fucking studio again.
Really?
And this is my wolf brother.
Well, I'll be your 2-for-1 wolf special brother. I already fucked it up because you're upset, and now I'm nervous. Dad's upset. I'm fucking having anxiety. Let's go drink and do some drugs to cope.
I know. Well, I'm so bummed because I rewired it because I wanted to, which of course always sounds better than it turns out to be. And then...
Well, I thought you might have been rewiring to get ready for your multiple lots of people, maybe. I thought you were trying to...
That's going to be like... Which is why it's kind of stupid that I'm rewiring my studio at all, because I'm going to move all of it inside.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Next Thursday. I think I'm even going to put a... Will this one be out?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah.
Last
It'll
night,
come out the next day.
It won't come out. I'm not editing that overnight.
No, this will come out the next day.
Hey, everybody, last night we recorded an epic all hands on deck sounds awesome recording with everybody from the network. So look for that in the coming weeks. You'll get to know Be Brave. You'll get to know Truth Not Trends, That Fitness Couple. You'll get to know Time Pop and all the answers.
It was super cool to meet everybody. Jeremy would tell you the same thing if he was here. So what I was going to say is I'll be your 2-for-1 wolf brother today, because we're down a wolf brother today. He didn't die. He's just not here.
We didn't gain a Jeremy. We lost our gains. What happened to that? What's up with that?
We were +2 in gains. Now we're fucking only +1.
Well, and I just realized I don't know that we're going to get to the second episode tonight, because you know what chapter 22 is, right?
Yeah, it's a big one, and I have lots of notes.
Yeah, and I think just I haven't listened to it.
I mean, if we can, we should try to do it because they go together so much.
Yeah.
We could do one long one.
This might be one where we just kind of cut it down the middle and just be like, catch the Duke boys next week when we land this fucking thing.
How are they going to get out of this bucket of syrup?
So yeah, I guess let's... Any Wheel of Time news that you're aware of besides leaks about who's going to be in season 4?
Other than that, we're going to hopefully get a shout out on What Up.
Oh yeah.
Not really. I do feel like there's going to be a lot of stuff coming down the pipe, though. I mean, they're starting to kind of like slowly leak out season 3 news. Like, you know, they're going to start filming pretty soon and stuff. So I feel like we're going to start getting that like kind of run up.
Yeah.
To the release. We're going to start getting some season 3. Then they're going to hopefully start like getting some trailers. I'm hoping it's like, look, we've got like 2 more weeks on our trailers and like another month and a half until we're done with pretty much everything other than fine tuning. So maybe they're going to start to kind of ramp up and get it, you know, the, what do you call it? Promotional time, you know.
Yeah. Anybody who heard about us on What Up, thanks for listening to us. We talk about Wheel of Time and we talk about other stuff, you know, not too much. We don't get off track too much, but we just like to have a fun time, enjoy each other's company. Hopefully you'll enjoy our company. The more real world actual happenings in the Wheel of Time show, the more we talk about it. We're using me. Desmond has not read the books yet, so we're kind of just using me as a guide as we work our way through the books during the off season and try not to get too far ahead of the show, but Amazon is not making it easy.
They really are not making it easy. That's like they're starting to struggle. About to start a Star Wars podcast because all the shit that's out on Disney is... I didn't realize it's like he got Mandalorian, Bad Batch, Rebels, the Jedi show. I'm drawing a blank on it right now. Tales of the Jedi, Andor. There's Obi-Wan. There's the Boba Fett show, which I forgot about.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's like, I just saw that Rey is coming back to be in a future installment where she's like the master of the Jedi Order.
Oh, yes.
They're really starting to tie everything together, it looks like, with Mandalorian. I haven't watched the 3rd season of Mandalorian yet. Still catching up on season 2, but
I have to catch up on so much of it. I don't know why I just haven't got... I think it's just because Kelly's not super into it. Like, she enjoys it, but like, I have a hard time sticking to something unless it's a family endeavor.
Lisa likes The Mandalorian a lot, but what's funny is that, shit, hold on. I got to switch internets. Hopefully it doesn't drop me.
Uh-oh, you froze. Not good, people. We got a frozen ass Justin.
Yeah, I got it fixed now. The fucking poodoo's going on here.
That's not Wizard Annie.
Dude, that's what I was going to say. Me and Lisa keep fucking going to watch, The Mandalorian. And then we start watching those not Obi-Wan videos and just fucking laugh till we fucking fall asleep. Like, it's just fucking, I can't, dude. I can't. Qui-Gon's always eating chips. It's just fucking, it's, dude, you gotta watch it, dude. Like, seriously. Most of them are only like 5 or 8 minutes. Like, you gotta just watch one tonight. Like, watch Anakin reacts to his Padawan surviving. That's the one you gotta watch.
All right.
It's fucking funny, dude. Sad. Oh my God. And Elisa's like, she's like, I don't get all the jokes, but I get enough of them to where I'm fucking dead.
Yeah, totally. And you just know that people saying that shit in that universe is wrong.
Well, like, just the subtle jokes, there's like, they see Dooku young with Qui-Gon as his Padawan. Yeah. And he's like, oh, his lightsaber's blue. And Ghost Qui-Gon's like, why wouldn't it be? Because he died before you figured out that Dooku is the bad guy. Damn it, did it freeze up again? What the fuck?
Ego.
Are you frozen? No, you blinked.
No.
I saw it.
Well, I'm not.
Take a shot to that.
Hell yeah. So I realized I really should have listened to this chapter today, because this is, I don't know, I'm going to have to kind of scrub through. We'll listen to a little bit of the first arch, a little bit of the second arch, we'll just listen to a little bit of each arch. And then thankfully you probably remember enough from reading it so many times that.
I do. And I have crazy notes on this chapter, so we'll just get into it and go. It's all good.
So I'll just hit play, and then at some point I'll jump forward a little while and blah, 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 blah. Or should we talk about each arch, maybe?
Do you want to do it that way since there's only two of us?
Yeah, let's do that.
Like, listen to it, pause, listen to it, pause, and then you can cut it together however you want.
Because that'll make more sense if I do turn this into two episodes, then like the third arch and this, the next, like that'll make an easy cutting point.
Like you could almost like fast forward it and I can like fill in the, you know, I can cliff notes. You know,
I'm going to crank it up to 1.5, assuming that we can still understand it at 1.5.
It'll be fine. It should be fine. It should be fine. And I'm going to get a drink. It was my birthday on Sunday, so you know.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, fatty.
That's right. 45 turns around the sun, baby.
Here we go. First arch.
And before that, I.
Oh, what are we talking about?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'll be your 2-for-1 wolf brother tonight. And tonight we're talking about chapter 22. Egwene is going to go through the arches if you're catching us just now or not. You know, Elaine has already this same day, like right before Egwene has just went through the arches herself. And then they came to get Egwene right after she had her conversation with Varen that we just dropped a couple of weeks ago. So they grab her right after that meeting. She still has the Turangriel. She still has all the Black Aja notes in her hand. And Shiriam goes, man, it's a good thing I remembered you had to go see Varen tonight, or, you know, I wouldn't have found you. Let's go. You know, it's getting late. You're on the schedule. So, you know, they ran her down and get her ready to run through the arches. And then that's where we're at.
And the arches are, that's when you go from from what to accepted?
You go through the arches once for novice to accepted, and then you do it again for accepted to, I believe so. Yeah, you do it again. And same thing with the wise ones. If you want to be a clan chief, you go one time, and then men don't get to go to Riudan a second time. Females go to Riudan once to see if they're worthy of becoming a wise one. And then when they've finished their testing, they go back. And, you know, and some of them don't come back that time. And they're not arches in the waste in Riudan. They are like these glass pillars, like columns. Same idea, though.
Huh. So, but Egwene would go through these exact same arches again. I mean, I'm going to assume she doesn't, because things go sideways real fast in the Wheel of Time. So she might not get a chance to, but
I have to look that up because
in a perfect succession, when we're not in the middle of the biggest war in 3,000 years, she would go again in a while when she becomes full sister.
Right. And it's, you know what, I have to look that up, actually. It may be one of those things. She might just have a different sort of testing, because I know they have to go through they have to do like 100 weaves. So maybe they don't go through the arches again. Maybe it's just the weaves.
Okay.
I'd have to look that up.
Hopefully Jeremy will show up in a little bit, fill in our gaps. All right. So they got to go through 3 arches. They're kind of like, well, we'll talk about it. And sometimes people don't come back.
Go on. Shiriam's tone would not put up with any more distractions. With a last glance at her clothes and the hidden papers, Egwene followed her toward the arches. The stone felt like ice under her bare feet. Whom do you bring with you, sister? Elida intoned. One who comes as a candidate for acceptance, sister. The three eyes Sedai around the Tarangrial did not move. Is she ready? She is ready to leave behind what she was, and passing through her fears gain acceptance. Does she know her fears? She has never faced them, but now is willing. Then let her face what she fears. Even in its formality, there was a note of satisfaction in Elida's voice. The first time, Shiriam said, is for what was. The way back will come but once. Be steadfast. Egwene took a deep breath and stepped forward, through the arch and into the glow. Light swallowed her whole. Giant Daughtry dropped by. There's odd news down from Bearlawn with the peddler. Egwene raised her head from the cradle she was rocking. Rand was standing in the doorway. For an instant her head spun. She looked from Rand, my husband, to the child in the cradle, my daughter, and back again in wonder. The way back will come but once. Be steadfast. It was not her own thought, but a disembodied voice that could have been inside her head or out, male or female, yet emotionless and unknowable. Somehow it did not seem strange to her. The moment of wonder passed, and the only thing to wonder about was why she had thought anything seemed out of round. Of course Rand was her husband, her handsome, loving husband. And Joya was her daughter, the most beautiful, sweetest little girl in the Two Rivers. Tam, Rand's father, was out with the sheep, supposedly so Rand could work on the barn, but really so he could have more time to play with Joya. This afternoon, Egwene's mother and father would come out from the village, and probably Nynaeve, to see if motherhood was interfering with Egwene's studies to replace Nynaeve as wisdom one day. What kind of news? She asked. Strange news. War. There's some big war taking up most of the world, so Jyne claims. That was strange news. Word of wars seldom reached the Two Rivers till the wars were long done. He says everybody is fighting some folk called the Shawkin or the Sanchan or something like that. I never heard of them. Egwene knew. She thought she knew. Whatever it was gone. Are you all right? He asked. It's nothing to upset us here, my heart. Wars never touch the Two Rivers. We are too far from everywhere for anyone to care. I'm not upset. Did Jyne say anything else? Nothing you can believe. He sounded like a Coplin. He said the peddler told him these people use Aes Sedai in battle, but then he claimed they offer 1,000 gold marks to anyone who turns an Aes Sedai over to them, and they kill anybody who hides one. It makes no sense. Well, it's nothing to trouble us. It is all a long way from here. The way back comes but once. Be steadfast. She noticed Rand had a hand to his own head. The headaches? She asked. He nodded, his eyes suddenly tight. That powder Nynaeve gave me doesn't seem to be working the last few days. These headaches of his worried her. They grew worse every time they came now. And worst of all was something she had not noticed at first, something she almost wished she never had noticed. When Rand's head hurt, strange things happened soon after. Lightning out of a clear sky smashing to bits that huge oak stump he'd been working 2 days to root out where he and Tam were clearing new field. Storms that Nynaeve did not hear coming when she listened to the wind. Wildfires in the forest. And the deeper his pain grew, the worse what followed. No one else had connected these things to Rand, not even Nynaeve, and Egwene was grateful for that. She did not want to think about what it might mean. That is plain stupid foolish, she told herself. I must know if I'm going to help him, because she had a secret of her own. One that frightened her even as she tried to puzzle out what it meant. Nynaeve was teaching her the herbs, teaching Egwene to follow her as wisdom one day. Nynaeve's cures often worked in near miraculous fashion. Wounds healed with barely a scar, sick folk brought back from the edge of the grave. But 3 times now, Egwene had cured someone Nynaeve had given up for dead. 3 times she had sat to hold a hand through the last hour and seen the person get up from a deathbed. Nynaeve had questioned her closely on what she had done, what herbs she had used, in what blending. Thus far she had not found the courage to admit that she had done nothing. I must have done something. Once might be chance, but 3 times? I have to figure it out. I have to learn. That set off a buzz in her head, as though the words were echoing inside her skull. If I could do something for them, I can help my husband. Let me try, Rand, she said. And as she stood through the open door, she saw a silver arch standing in front of the house, an arch filled with white light. The way back will come but once. Be steadfast. She took 2 steps toward the door before she could stop herself. She halted, looked back at Joya gurgling in her cradle, at Rand still pressing hand to his head and looking at her as if wondering where she was going. No, she said. No, this is what I want. This is what I want. Why can't I have this too? She did not understand her own words. Of course this was what she wanted, and she had it. What is it you want, Egwene? Rand asked. If it's anything I can get, you know I will. If I can't get it, I'll make it. The way back will come but once. Be steadfast. She took another step into the doorway. The silver arch beckoned her. Something waited on the other side. Something she wanted more than anything else in the world. Something she had to do. Egwene, There was a thump behind her. She looked over her shoulder to see Rand on his knees, bowed and head cradled in his hands. The pain had never hit him so hard. What will come after this? Ah, light, he panted. Light hurts. Light, it hurts worse than ever. Egwene? Be steadfast. It was waiting. Something she had to do. Had to. She took a step. It was hard, harder than anything she'd ever done in her life. Outside, toward the arch, behind her, Joya was laughing. Egwene! Egwene, I can't! He cut off with a loud groan. Steadfast. She stiffened her back and kept walking, but she could not keep the tears from rolling down her cheeks. Rand's groans built to a scream, drowning Joya's laughter. From the corner of her eye, Egwene saw Tam coming, running as hard as he could. He can't help, she thought, and tears became racking sobs. There is nothing he can do, but I could. I could! She stepped into the light and was consumed. Trembling and sobbing, Egwene stepped out of the arch, the same by which she had entered.
So in this world, they've never left the Two Rivers, for one. You know, Egwene is...
How is this what was?
Like, this is what your life would have been had you not come to the tower. This is what it was. If you never left, you would be looking back. This would be your life. So, like, that's what your life was going to be.
Okay.
Then you're going to be what your life could be, and or, like, what it is, like, most likely heading towards, and then, it like, what could be, I think. I mean, that's why I read it.
Okay.
You do get, this is Rand's vision from the show. They have the baby Joya.
Oh, yeah.
They're at their farm. So when Rand is talking to Ishmael, this is his vision, minus the Rand, you know, falling to his knees and, oh, it hurts my head. Obviously, he's suffering from the taint right now. Whether she, it's like she knows, she doesn't want to admit it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's weird how he was working on that stump and then lightning burned it away the next day and then, you know, stuff like that. So it's kind of like that's how their life was. They lived in the Two Rivers. They were away from everything. They just ignored the world because nothing ever touched them. And it's just they expected the Shan Chan. Oh, well, we don't have to worry about that. Guess what? You fucking will.
Yeah.
Even if you stayed there, you'd have to worry about them. So
most likely in this world, like they probably, I mean, because if the Shan Chan attack, they could, you know, they wouldn't necessarily do it on purpose, but Rand and Egwene could do some damage.
Yes and no, because they have the potential to do the damage, but both of them are completely untrained. She doesn't even realize she can channel.
But that's what I mean, though. But they both, when forced to through pain or suffering or that, they're still fairly powerful.
Like any magic or the force, it comes through in a time of stress when you really need, you know, a time of need. You need to be saved. You need to save someone you love. So yes, of course that could happen. But once, I actually saw a tweet today. Somebody's like,
Before I get totally off this, Egwene would get captured.
Right, probably. And who knows if she'd ever be able to break free.
Yeah.
Because she has a strength of will, but she doesn't have any kind of skills to try to, you know, she doesn't have, you can actually see it, something I wrote down.
She doesn't have the crew to be like, we got to go get her.
And she doesn't quite have the fight in her yet. Like, that's something I wrote down for our next episode. She's talking about, like, I don't want this ring. And that's that. That is not Egwene's character. She's like, a couple, you know, there's a few chapters later, she's like, you ain't going to fucking take this from me. Nynaeve and her are kind of like, well, who should wear it? She's like, well, you're not going to. And Egwene's like, okay. Guess you're fucking cool. She's like, you can't even channel unless you're angry. And you don't have to channel there. I know what to do. And it's like, okay.
All right. Never mind.
But and so another thing, you can see that Egwene has some healing powers in this world, whether she realized what it's from or not. So it does kind of ease the pain of the fish flop scene at the end of the season where she heals Egwene or heals Nynaeve kind of, because that's what she would have been if she was a wisdom. She's become more of a weapon because she was captured by the Shan Chan, and that's basically what they do. They teach you how to fuck shit up, not, oh, let's fix stuff and build things. That's not what they do.
That's right. I keep forgetting that she was, how long was she with the Shan Chan?
A couple of months, 3 months.
Oh, it was, okay. That's right. Because I forget, was that in between books? Because I don't feel like we experienced that very...
Second half of Great Hunt. She gets captured like middle of the Great Hunt, and they spent the second half of it kind of trying to get her out.
Wow. Why does that... Yeah. Oh, I'm already... I'm.
She takes off because they just kind of like... They... Her and... I think Elaine's there too. It's been a while. I have to go back and read it again. Her, Elaine, and Nynaeve are traveling, and they go to meet up with Lyandrin because she's like, you know, you need to go. And they think that Lyandrin is kind of setting them on a hunt like Suan does.
Yep.
And then she, you know, she basically takes them to the Shan Chan and gives them. Nynaeve manages to get away. I don't think Elaine is with them because she doesn't get captured. And she's not with Nynaeve, I don't believe. So maybe they get separated.
I don't think Elaine.
But
does.
I'm pretty sure it's Egwene and Nynaeve only. I don't think Elaine was there for that. So
I forget Oh, was it Egwene and Nynaeve? Do they both get captured?
Yeah, and Nynaeve gets away. No, Nynaeve gets away. Because she's strong enough to where she busts the lightning bolt before they get anything around her neck. So she just and takes off.
It did not occur to me until just this moment how much that supercharged her training.
Oh, yeah. She's a real badass, especially like if you're talking like battle mage status.
Yeah.
She learns how to do a lot of shit that they might not ever even teach her in the tower. I mean, they might be like, oh, you can study this if you're Green Aja because you're going to need to know battle. But at this point in the world, there's no need for that.
Yeah.
You know, you can learn how to do it on your own, but like they taught her how to fuck shit up. Their whole reason for Damani are war, or like they also have her going out and going to like the hills and pulling ore out of the hills to make weapons. Like she can mine heavy metals and stuff because she can find them.
Yeah.
Then, you know, do that. So that's a thing too. That's another thing that she, you know, it increases her strength exponentially. She probably ends up being nearly as strong as Nynaeve, you know, because of how hard she trained and how much she was pushed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she has the iron. You'll see that Egwene's will. You think Nynaeve is a strong woman and has a force of will? She's fucking nothing compared to Egwene by the end. Egwene is like, she's a bad bitch. She's a strong woman. And she is willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that her people live and survive, and that her ideals that her people stand for live and survive as well. You know, she makes, you know, she's willing to lead by example and in turn make whatever sacrifices are necessary. That's all I got for the first arch, if you want to go.
Yeah, that one makes sense. That's what would have been.
No, that's it. Just you see that scene from Rand, and then, well, and it's funny that you get a version of that in the show. So maybe there will just be one trip through one arch or something, and you'll only get one of those stories, or maybe like an amalgamation of one where like you go through the arch. And then you come out and you don't do it three times. Maybe you just do it once or something like that. Because I don't think they're going to cherry pick and piggyback that scene for hers unless it's different in a way. But that's pretty much straight across that scene until Rand starts going, oh, my head and stuff. It's pretty much verbatim.
I think it's going to be the exact same scene from Egwene's point of view. And then it might last.
I mean, that would be cool too. I'm totally down for that. But where Rand starts talking to Ishmael, then he like hits his knees and he's like, oh, my head.
Well, oh, yeah. I wasn't.
Because that's where she, remember how she freezes?
Yeah.
He like freezes Egwene and she's looking at the baby or whatever. Maybe that could be where her vision starts.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, Rand, the baby. Oh, what's going on? Oh, are you okay? Oh, your head? Oh. You know, and you could take her vision from there. So it's almost like a mixture of the two. And you're like, wait, is this Rand? I think that would be kind of cool. It might be confusing, but it'd be cool.
Well, if in her version, he's in pain, that would make sense. Because Ishmael would be putting him in pain and giving him a gnarly headache.
Numbers hurt. The power hurts my head.
Arch number two, Utah. Give me two.
She stopped in front of the next glow-filled arch. Are you ready? Shifting her feet, Egwene nodded, and Shiriam took her arm away. The second time is for what is. The way back will come but once. Be steadfast. Egwene trembled. Whatever happens, it cannot be worse than the last. It cannot be. She stepped into the glow. She stared down at her dress, blue silk sewn with pearls, all dusty and torn. Her head came up and she took in the ruins of a great palace around her. The royal palace of Andor, in Camelin. She knew that, and wanted to scream. The way back will come but once. Be steadfast. The world was not the way she wanted it, no way that she could think of without wanting to cry, but all her tears had been cried away long ago, and the world was as it was. Ruin was what she expected to see. Careless of making more rips in her dress, but as careful of sound as a mouse, she climbed one of the piles of rubble and peered into the curving streets of the inner city. As far as she could see, in every direction lay ruin and desolation, buildings that looked as if they had been torn apart by madmen, thick plumes of smoke rising from the fires still burning. There were people in the streets, bands of armed men prowling, searching, and Trollocs. The men shied away from the Trollocs, and the Trollocs snarled at them and laughed, harsh, guttural laughter. But they knew each other, worked together. A Murdral came striding down the street, its black cloak swaying gently with its steps, even when the wind gusted to drive dust and rubbish past it. Men and Trollocs alike cowered under its eyeless stare. Hunt. Its voice sounded like something long dead crumbling. Do not stand there shivering. Find him. Egwene slipped back down the pile of jumbled stones as silently as she could. The way back will come but once. Be steadfast. She stopped, afraid the whisper had come from Shadowspawn. In some way, though, she was sure it had not. glancing back over her shoulder, half fearful of seeing the Myrdral standing where she had just been. She hurried onward and into the ruined palace, climbing over fallen timbers, squeezing between heavy blocks of collapsed masonry as she made her way. Once she stepped on a woman's arm, sticking out from under a mound of plaster and bricks that had been an interior wall, and perhaps part of the floor above. She noticed the arm as little as she noticed the great serpent ring on one finger. She had trained herself not to see the dead buried in the refuse heap Trollocs and dark friends had made of Camelin. She could do nothing for the dead. Forcing her way through a narrow gap where part of the ceiling had fallen, she found herself in a room half buried under what had stood above it. Rand lay with a heavy beam pinning him across the waist, his legs hidden beneath the stone blocks that filled half the room. Dust and sweat coated his face. He opened his eyes when she came near him.
You came back.
He forced the words out in a hoarse rasp.
I was afraid. No matter. You have to help me.
She sank wearily to the floor. I could lift that beam easily with air, but as soon as it moves, everything else will come down on top of you. On top of both of us. I cannot manage all of it, Rand. His laugh was bitter and painful, and cut off almost as soon as it began.
I could shift the beam myself. You know that. I could shift that and the stones above, all of them. But I have to let go of myself to do it. And I can't trust that. I cannot trust.
He stopped, wheezing for breath.
I do not understand,
she said slowly. Let go of yourself? What can't you trust?
The way back will come but once. Be steadfast. She rubbed her hands roughly over her ears. The madness, Egwene. I am, actually, holding it at bay.
His gasping laugh made her skin prickle.
But it takes everything I have just to do that. If I let go, even a little, even for an instant, the madness will have me. I won't care what I do then. You have to help me.
How, Rand? I've tried everything I know. Tell me how and I will do it. His hand flopped out, fell just short of a dagger lying in the dust, bare-bladed.
The dagger,
he whispered. His hand made a painful journey back to his chest.
Here, in the heart. Kill me.
She stared at him, at the dagger, as if they were both poisonous serpents.
No, Rand, I will not. I cannot. How could you ask such a thing?
Slowly, his hand crept back toward the dagger. His fingers came short again. He strained, moaning, brushed it with a fingertip. Before he could try again, she kicked it away from him. He collapsed with a sob.
Tell me why, she demanded. Why would you ask me to murder you? I will heal you. I will do anything to get you out of there, but I cannot kill you.
Why?
They can turn me, Egwene.
His breathing was so tortured she wished she could weep.
If they take me, the Myrdral, the Dreadlords, they can turn me to the shadow. If madness has me, I cannot fight them. I won't know what they are doing till it is too late. If there is even a spark of life left when they find me, they can still do it. Please, Egwene, for the love of the light, kill me. I can't, Rand. Light, help me, I cannot.
The way back will come but once. Be steadfast. She looked over her shoulder, and a silver arch filled with white light took up most of the open space among the rubble.
Egwene, help me.
Be steadfast. She stood and took a step toward the arch. It was right there in front of her. One more step and...
Please, Egwene, help me. I can't reach it. For the love of the light, Egwene, help me.
I cannot kill you, she whispered.
I can't. Forgive me.
She stepped forward.
Help me, Egwene.
Light burned her to ash. Staggering, she stepped out of the arch, neither noticing her nakedness nor caring. A shudder ran through her, and she covered her mouth with both hands.
I couldn't, Rand, she whispered. I couldn't.
I love how it's almost like Anakin. Like, if any part of me survives, they can turn it into Darth Vader.
Dude, seriously. No, seriously. Well, and okay, so a few things. I got to go back a little bit. I had notes from before she started getting texts, and Shirim definitely catches Egwene off guard to grab her for the testing. I was saying that. They're pushing the test, and she's incredibly exhausted. Normally, I don't think they would do that. I don't know if it's because she's so strong. I don't know if it's maybe Black Aja influence. Maybe they're hoping to kill her or burn her out. Because at this point, I think that the minions of the Dark One are starting to realize that she's pretty important, too.
But they couldn't really, like, it seems like once you start going through the arches, like, you gotta keep moving. Like, you can't, like, stop for bread and cheese in between arches, can you?
No, it's just a quick, like, they dump water over you and then you go pretty much right back in. Like I said, you really see, like, Egwene's character has changed a lot already. This is where she really becomes, like, if the Crucible, bro, like, she really goes through the fire starting now. Like, she really gets disabused of she still, at some part of her, thinks that she's going to be with Rand and be there for Rand and help Rand, even though she knows he's the dragon. And, you know, she actually hasn't even gotten to the pact that, like, him and Elaine eventually start to, you know, become close. And they're so close. And he has to be like, look, I'm not going to be with Rand that way. I don't think you should either. But, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to do. So you really see her strength of character. And, like, you get foreshadowing in these viewings of not exactly what happens, but similar things, and why she becomes so hard. It's like, she's not hard in a way, like, Rand becomes hard in a certain way where it's just like, I can't show emotion. They'll use it against me. Egwene's just like, this is my duty. This is what has to happen. I don't give a fuck if you like it. This is what's going down. And it's just because her beliefs are that strong, and it's got to be that way for the good of humanity. And she's wrong sometimes. Her and Rand end up going a little back and forth at the very end. And it's like, whoa, dude. And they, you know, they grew up together and they're still disagreeing. It's pretty nuts. Another thing was like, I don't know if they have those Turing grills in the bowels of the tower because they're dangerous. They don't want anyone walking through them. If they're a secret and nobody knows about them until you walk through them. I don't know. It's just something I kind of had written down and was like,
oh yeah. Where did they come?
It's way down there. How'd they get them there? Did they build the tower around it? Like, they're big.
And at some point, someone would have had to have make them if they're Angrials, right?
They made them in the Age of Legends, but that was before the tower. So did they put them there and construct the tower around them? Or did they just blow out a wall? Because it's in the bowels of the tower. And I mean, I picture it being kind of like a Stargate or something. It's pretty big, you know? You walk through it, you don't crawl through it. So it's got to be pretty big. And I mean, I feel like you have to see some version of this scene because you've gotten some formality of the tower already. I got to stop clicking that fucking pen. It's going to show up. It's going to be annoying. I don't know why I'm so serious this episode as opposed to funny. Probably because Jeremy's not here. He's my straight guy to my idiot.
Well, and starting off with a bunch of glitches always puts us in a like, all right,
we better get this in as best we can and then fucking fuck around later. I wonder if it was made for this. You know, that was another thing about the towers. What was it made for this originally?
Yeah.
What was it made for originally?
Yeah.
Was it made by accident and then they decided to use it for the testing? Like, I'd love to know some history on it.
Yeah. Yeah. That just because it just hit me because I always imagined them as a natural phenomena, but they're Angrials. So they were blessed and made and curated for this purpose.
Right.
So what?
When they give her instructions, it's like, all right, get naked. You better hurry. You might die, but don't fuck around. Like you said, no wine and cheese, but get naked and, you know, get in there. And Elaida's a bitch and she's a bully and I don't like her. Yeah, she sucks. But I mean, it's just, and that was another thing. I wrote some notes. I'm trying to figure out what they say. I'm wondering if they're starting, they start talking about, you're going to get it. They say a little bit in between and they say some after. And in the next chapter, they talk about that the arches were given some kind of reverberations. There was something off. And a lot of the sisters felt it to the point where some of them wanted to cancel Egwene's test and see what was up. And Elaida's like, hey, Egwene had to do it. She's got to do it. Let's go. And, you know, I wonder, it's like, is it because she's so, like, in the show, she's Tavirin, and she's not really Tavirin in this, but she's a part of Rand and Perrin and Matt's Tavirin. And then the visions have to do with the shadow. You'll see when Matt goes to a place, he starts asking questions about the shadow, and it starts to kind of break down the fabric of that reality. They're like, you're hurting us by asking about the shadow almost. So I wonder if the Turing girl is something similar. It's like, because her visions have to do with the dragon and the shadow, if that's why it's fucking up.
Yeah.
Or whatever that reverberation is or whatever. Because they don't ever really explain it. Also, Rand talking about keeping the madness at bay, that's a fantasy. No matter who you are, if you are a male and you channel, you will have some version of madness. Like any illness, it will affect people in time and duration and severity depending on the person.
So, sorry, I'm on fandom. It says the original purpose of the arches is unknown, but is now used to in the possession of the White Tower and is now used to raise a novice to accepted. And the buzz, I think, comes from because there's some kind of, because that would make sense that the arches are related to Telen Riad because you're kind of going to another world. So they say here, the silver arches seem to be related to Telen Riad. When Egwene passes the test to become accepted, she brings the twisted stone ring with her.
That's the way I took it.
The silver arches then create a buzz felt by the Aes Sedai channeling. The Aes Sedai channeling on it?
Oh.
So they're channeling into it while she's in the arches?
They have to channel into the arches to make them do their thing. And I think that would make sense if it is that connected to Telen Riad, like if it is like a doorway and what she's seeing is Telen Riad, because that would make sense because sometimes later she actually gets trapped in a dream of Gawain's where she's married to Gawain and she gets pulled into his dream so hard she can't get out almost. And she's very strong at that point in the world of dreams. So it would make sense that the archers have something to do with the world of dreams. And maybe the reverberations was just created by the ring just being there in such close proximity because it's a powerful Turing grill and so is the other one. That would make a lot of sense.
So I'm looking at pictures of this, and there seems to be only one version of it. So this must be it. Like, the three arches.
It looks like a McDonald's arch with three arches.
But there's, like, a center to it. So each time you go, like, through an arch, you're actually in the center of all three arches, even though you're passing through each side one at a time. So I'm curious. I have to ask this again. I'm going to look at fandom while I do it. So the Aes Sedai outside the arches are putting some kind of power or whatever. They're influencing it somehow.
I think they're just channeling spirit into it to kind of wake it up, to power it up.
Huh.
Basically, for lack of a better term. There is a... Well, it's kind of like the Dream Terangreal. You can use it by just touching your skin, but there's other ones that you can channel spirit into and then go into the world of dreams.
Oh, shit. Okay, so I might be getting either ahead of ourselves or taking information outside of these books, but I trust fandom. By passing through the arches, the entrant will become subject to her greatest fears of the past, present, and future. So they're always their greatest fears, which is interesting. Passing through another...
That's why they're the trials.
The one power must be channeled into the arches at all time while a person is inside, or else they will become lost to the outside world forever, if they even survive. So that means that Aes Sedai can decide to trap someone inside there.
Yeah, if they wanted to, technically.
Because now, are they talking about Egwene channeling the power the whole time while she's inside of it? Or are they talking about the Aes Sedai outside of it channeling into it?
They're talking about the what's why there's other sisters there and they're channeling, you know, into it.
Huh. That's some scary shit.
Yeah, we're going to do some sketchy shit. That's totally true. Well, that's why I was kind of thinking, I was like, you know, is there a sister there, which I can tell you for a fact, there's at least, I'd have to hear the names again, but there's at least for sure one, I think two, and another one who is basically a puppet of the Black Aja in this room right now with her. Without naming names. So that was another one of my thoughts. It's like, is it one of the Black sisters maybe trying to pull some shit? But like you said, it would probably be pretty hard for them to do anything too overt because they can see the flows and they could see what they're doing. So any major sabotage using the power, I think, would probably be noticed.
Yeah.
What I was going to say earlier, and we got off on some other shit and the computer froze up. Shadow Rising, I saw a tweet today where someone put out Shadow Rising is really where the world and the characters, as far as their relation to the world that they live in, the nations / factions / families, whatever, you know, alliances, allegiances, start to really coalesce in book four. And the magic, I don't want to say system because it's not a video game, but for lack of a better term, the magic mechanics and you really start to coalesce and understand it much better. It really gets more fleshed out in book four. And I mean, the first three books are so character driven and you start to transition to scene driven and I guess major event driven books going forward, a mixture of the two, but you really get to flesh out the world and the nations and the magic and where everybody's at, like physically in book four.
Spoiler alert. And I don't care because this is a spoiler for me. So I'm going to spoil everyone else too, because this is fucking rad. There are some similarities with the Three Rings Terangreal in Ryudan used by the Aiel to select their apprentice of the wise ones. I don't know what the fuck.
That's what I was saying earlier.
I remember you saying Ryudan, but I didn't realize. I to me, that doesn't immediately mean Aiel, because I'm an idiot.
Right. Their version of Aes Sedai are wise ones, and that's kind of how they test theirs. So
yeah. So that would lead me back to this is maybe a natural phenomenon. Because the fact that they're channeling the whole...
But you don't have to channel in the ones in the waste. The men can walk through them, and they're just clan chiefs, and they can't channel. So it doesn't require... You know, what, 6 or 10 sisters channeling.
So that means that, A, they're probably a natural phenomenon, and the Aes Sedai are...
Perverting it?
Perfect, yeah. They're using it for their own...
But the Aiel do too, because, and like, you'll see that they go through the similar thing. It's like, but the Aiel's is more like, this is your fucking history, not this is your fears. Like, this is what happened, and you have to know what happened before you, and then you'll know what you're going through now, and then what you'll go through in the future. And you get to see, I don't know if it's getting towards...
Is it? Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I kind of zoned out there for a minute. I'm thinking about a lot. Is the Aiel, are they more of a realistic version of what's going to happen than the total fear-based system that the Aes Sedai have?
Yes. Yes. They see stuff that really happened. Like Rand, he goes into the Arches, and you'll see it. It's in book four. He goes into Riadan and he learns about his Aiel heritage and going all the way back to the Breaking.
Oh.
Like his Aiel heritage goes all the way back to the Breaking and has nothing to do with Luz Theron.
Yeah.
He happens to be Luz Theron reborn, but it has no connection to the fact that he is actually Aiel. So they show him his Aiel family who used to be... Aiel means... Aes Sedai are servants of all, and then I forget what Aiel means, but it's like they have Gaishan. They used to call him Daishan. Gaishan is like if Aiel are fighting and they take an enemy without a weapon, they take them Gaishan. They have to be basically their servant for a year and a day.
Oh, yeah.
The Aiel used to only be Gaishan or Daishan, and they never picked up a weapon. They never did violence.
Yeah.
They were basically the personal assistant droids of the Aes Sedai and society overall.
Tinkers.
They were tinkers. They were tinkers. That's, you just solved it. And that's the biggest fear is that they, a lot of Aiel can't handle the fact that they used to follow the way of the leaf and they never come back from Riudan because they can't handle the, they can't handle the fire. They can't handle that smoke.
Woo! Our next episode will be Jeremy. I think I'm just going to tell Jeremy to record himself when he listens to our podcast. I'm just imagining Jeremy going, no, no, that's not right. It's the other thing. It's.
I'm actually really bummed that he's not here for this episode because there's a lot of stuff that I would have liked to have bounced off of him.
Yeah.
But, and you know what? We already, you and I already did. Jeremy said he's going to be set up in 10 minutes.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Do you want to try to wrap this up?
Yes. Let's put a bow on this episode. And then Jeremy will be in the next episode where we'll get his take on the first two arches. And then we'll move on to the third arch.
So do you want to record another episode tonight?
Well, it's going to be two episodes. We're going to, episode one is ending right now. Episode two is going to pick up when Jeremy shows up. So everyone, come back next week if you want to hear Jeremy's take on the first two arches and get all of our takes going through the third arch. It's going to get crazy. It's going to be amazing. So thank the light for listening to our podcast. Please rate us, like us, tell a friend about our show. Thank the light. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parch Sailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parch Sailman. Send us questions, comments, your thoughts on us never doing another episode unless Jeremy is available. Send those to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. I know, Justin had to take the serious role this time. I don't know if I like it. I think I like Jeremy being our straight man.
I don't love it. I love being an idiot. It's much more fun. I mean, no, I'm just kidding. I love doing it all. And I'll be much more serious when the show comes out. It's just, you know.
Looking for another great podcast to listen to? Then stay tuned. Like I said, on this feed soon, there's going to be a podcast that is going to highlight all of the other shows on the Sounds Awesome Network. Please listen to that so you can get to know some of our great hosts and you can get spiritual, you can get in shape, you can learn how to be brave,
learn how to be an awesome woman,
you can time travel and learn how to time travel without Paradox,
learn dick jokes here.
Oh, and on that note, the way back comes but once. Be steadfast.
Be steadfast. You son of a bitch. That's what I was going to say.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. go to whatsoundsawesome.com.